Shabbat Shalom. It's so good to be here. I think Jay will lead.
Yeah. We're going to do this a slightly differently than what you've probably been used to in the past. We're going to, if you can bring the house lights down just a bit so people can see the screens a bit better. Alex and I are going to work together on a little bit of a what I call an annual report. And we're going to give you a little bit of a slideshow. You're going to need to expand that one. There's a little icon down. Nope, wrong one. I had clicked it. That's the one. Thank you. And so I'm going to do that, and then Alex will bring a message. He'll have some really great insights to some of this. It's been updated since last year, so there'll be some new stuff as well. Thank you very much. Just for some of you who are not familiar with where Zambia is, look right in the middle of the picture. You can see Zambia there. And look just to the east of that is Malawi, and we're going to talk about that as well. Come on. There it is. I want to show you what This is the typical business slash residential areas of Lusaka, the capital city. But this is kind of typical. When you go to Africa and you go to this part of the world, you'll see these kinds of buildings, these kinds of people. Well, the video stopped. Okay. You know, we did this last night. It worked. And we worked again this morning. There it is. So I just want you to see what there. Hey, we even have the audio up. What a deal. So this is what the typical mission field of our ministry in the city looks like. In fact, this was taken a few years ago within blocks of Alex's old home. So let me go see if I can just go to the next slide. I mean, this is interesting, but not that interesting. I can't. No. No, we're going to have to watch the whole thing through. And if you notice that people are driving on the wrong side of the road, it's because, well, they're driving on what they think is the right side of the road. Because it used to be in a British protectorate, and a lot of the British stuff stuck. One of the neat things about what stuck of the British side was English. They speak English there, by and large. But this is the typical mission field in the bush. And we're going to be talking a whole lot about that today. Oh, come on. You can do this. I saw you do it. All right. This is not useful. Why are you not advancing? Okay, guys. In the control booth, hit the little space. That's it. I'll keep trying, but it's a little bit rebellious today. That is the campus of the orphanage. You see on the right-hand side, the orphanage itself, big building, lots of orphans there. They come in, and the government actually appoints who will be there. We don't get to choose. The government chooses for us, and they top-load us with whatever orphan they want to stick in there. That's okay. We figure God leads them anyway. You'll see three flags there. The first flag is the flag of Zambia, the green one. Next one's a sort of a white-looking flag. That's not the flag of surrender. It is the flag of Israel. The next one behind that, which you recognize as the Stars and Stripes. That's because there are deep affiliations with each of these at this place. The building in the back, the one-story building you see way at the back, is the synagogue. They've been building this for years, and now it's complete and beautiful on the inside. Let me see if I can. Oh, I did. That is a worship ongoing in that synagogue. The lady in the center facing away, you might recognize as Faye Yalenga. And if you really have a sharp eye, you might pick out one of the, or two of the Yalenga girls there behind her. The ones I want to talk about, though, are the ones in the way back corner, back. Those are the praise team, the guys who do the musicians, right? Okay. all of those grew up in that orphanage. They grew up there and are ministering to the Lord in that place.
That's right.
See, I'm talking about stuff is happening here, guys. I want to talk about the Queen of the Goba. You'll see a, oh, yeah, sure. There it is. Several years back, you see Faye Yalinga at the podium. I'm clapping. What am I clapping about? Because the Queen of the Goba there in the multicolored dress beside her bodyguard has just declared that the tribal god of her tribe is finished in her lands. I saw it happen. That's right. I was there. Let me tell you, this lady has a tribe of, what, 30-some-odd thousand, I think?
50,000.
50,000 now.
50,000 people.
Well, they've multiplied a bit. And so what's happened is that they have come to faith. When she first came to faith, only about five of her headmen, that'd be like mayors and city councilmen, were supporting her, and the rest of them wanted to kill her.
Right.
But now it's reversed. There are a few holdouts, but the whole tribe, hear me, of 30 some odd, maybe 50,000 have come to faith.
Yeah.
You know, you guys, I'm talking a return on investment here, okay? All right, here we go with the next one. Our relationship with her is continuing. We're giving her resources. We're ministering to her. We're doing everything we can to strengthen her. And so big, big deal there. I want to talk about some of the congregations. Way up almost to Congo is a town called Ndola. It's a mining town. It's a beautiful town full of beautiful people. That is a picture of the congregation in Ndola that you have made happen.
That's right.
And they are praising God. Look at that group of people smiling. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's delightful. And now, for the first time, we're reaching out into Malawi, just next door. And we have a congregation. We thought we had two. Did we still have two?
No.
No, I'm afraid. We only have one left.
We have one.
But it's a good one. Let's look at let's look at Malawi. See that big lake? The left-hand side of the lake is Malawi. It's big and long and narrow. Plenty of water in Malawi. You fly into the capital city, which is
Lilongwe.
Lilongwe.
Yes.
And as I landed in Lilongwe, I turned and I said to myself, boy, I am really Lilongwe from home. Work with me here. Come on. You guys are hard. Way up, thank you, Robert. At least we got one amen. Way up north from there on a road trip is a place called Mzuzu. And it's a beautiful place with beautiful people. This is the congregation in Mzuzu celebrating and worshiping our God. And that's because of you guys. And add stuff when you feel like you want to.
Okay.
Then we went to Solwezi to meet again with the king of the Kayonde. The king of the Kayonde is an amazing man.
Yes, I'll add something there.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so the king of the Kaonde has 200,000 people.
Oh, that was more than that. Maybe he lost 50,000 down there.
Yeah, so he's got 200,000 people in his tribe. Yeah.
Yeah, they're scattered between northern Zambia and southern Congo.
That's right.
Borders don't mean much to tribes, frankly. And so this king, several years back, Alex and I went to meet this king, and he is a man of faith now, and we have strengthened him, and so we have a continuing relationship with him. King Mumena is his name. There he is, dressed in his tribal garb. He's the one with the orange bottom and the azure top, and you see all of his people are kneeling in front of him. That's what happens with kings of Africa, especially this. This king is such a high and exalted king that the president of Zambia bows to him, okay? This is how important this man is. He is at this was his office right there behind him. which Alex and I actually were privileged to be in. But at any rate, these people kneel before, as he drives down the road in his car, you see people on the side of the roads all of a sudden kneeling before him. Alex knows how to deal with kings, not so much me. Our nation has not dealt well with kings since about 1700 something, but we're learning, and we now have a relationship with this man that is incredibly close.
Amen.
We are trying to find ways to. He's a man of faith now.
Yes.
Even at his celebrations, he has a shofar blower. Okay.
Uh-huh. That's right.
He understands God. He wants our God. And now we're trying to work with him and finding ways to bring the rest of his tribe. Can you imagine a couple 100,000 people coming to faith? We'll see. We will see. We've tried two or three different ways. The last conversation we had with him was along the lines of, can we meet with maybe some of your headmen and strengthen them? I don't know how many headmen he's got. Lots and lots of villages, obviously a couple 100,000 scattered in the bush. But if we can get them to come to faith and the king is in faith, guess what happens next? The people do. And then we start discipling. So that's a huge deal there. Okay. Earth to PowerPoint. There it is. Here is his, what they call the royal establishment. This will be his, I don't know, White House, Capitol, whatever it is in Africa. I want you to look at the seal of his. Obviously, his location. Do you see the lion tribe here? Do you see on the sides? Notice Stars of David. He believes in our God, and he's obvious about it. And that's not the only one. There's more. Push my button, please. There we go. He actually allowed us to lead worship services in his compound to our God, just like we're doing today, just like today. I want to show you, there it is. Not a lot of people, because the king doesn't invite a lot of people. I mean, he's a king, right? But there they are. And you see the king without his royal garb, and he even took his hat off. That I haven't seen before. And he's right there on the front on that left-hand side of the picture. We are having a worship time in his at his royal establishment. Amazing stuff. Let's go to Rufunsa. Rufunsa's had a lot of trouble. Alex, talk about the trouble.
Yeah, they've lost the congregation. The tribal people kind of came and took over.
Well, they lose the congregation. Yeah. They lost the building.
Yes.
You got to understand African language.
That's right. They actually lost the congregation. The tribal people opposed what we stand for and just came and... took over the building.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the well. And they took it all. They just took it.
Yeah.
Well, so a couple of years back, I was there, and they said, you have to help us build a building. And I told them, build it yourself. You build it, and you will love it. And so there they are. They're doing it. You see that? That's their new building. Not done, not completely finished. But by golly, these people are not going to be beat.
No.
They will not be defeated because they know that their God is stronger than any other tribal God.
Yes, yes.
And here they are inside that building. You can see that there's not a lot of seating, but they're sitting where they can. And we conducted worship services there for them at that time. They do it on their own too. Okay, push the button again up there. Okay. Now I want to talk to you a little about the connection with the Jewish community in Lusaka. We have been, for many years, Alex has started it and I've continued it, and we're working together on it, trying to minister to the Jewish community. We now, we've spent some time with the head of the Jewish community there. They don't have a rabbi at all.
They actually do now.
Do they got one?
Yes, they do. The Jewish community of Zambia came from Eastern Europe. Yeah, about 100 years ago, most of them.
Right. Yeah. And so we have talked with them and sat down and had time with them. Mm-hmm. I even volunteered. I said, I'll bring a message. It's not a problem. But what happened, they sold their congregational building, but they kept the benches, and the benches were in pretty bad disrepair. And they donated them to us. Why?
That's right.
Because of this guy and his connection with that community. That's why. It wasn't me, but it was him. So let's take a look at him. I want you to see what we saw on the first day I was there. See all those benches that are all stacked up? That's what would that's what passes for pews in the synagogue, okay? And so they were holy and they were special, and so there they are. Next, our people got in there and started working on them, sanding and finishing.
We worked pretty hard.
They did.
Yeah.
They really were born in some midnight oil.
That's right.
And so there they are in one of the classrooms of the school there at the orphanage, and now there they are in the synagogue. They are finished. They are ready. They're set up, and they're being used. I know, right?
Hallelujah.
So that the Jewish influence, so when the Jewish community hopefully comes one day to worship with us, they can find their old chair. It's okay.
Well, it's just a matter of time. The Lord has said it. Israel shall be saved. Yeah, so we just prepare for that day.
And so there, they have a place to sit down.
That's right.
I love that. That's just delightful. The orphans, let's talk about them for just a second. Orphans at the Jeremy Fleischer Day School. These youngsters come in off the streets. They go to school during the day. They get fed. They get medical attention. They have a little outfit that we can give them. They get a great education, and then they get God, because that's part of an education at the day school. And then when at the end of the day, they have to go back out on the streets. It's really dangerous there. I can't really describe to you how the place where it is. These schools are put in the worst parts of the slums.
Right.
They are very, very, they're somewhat dangerous. Picture Mogadishu, if you will, and that's it right there.
Yeah, just to give context, there are about 52 million orphans in Africa. Yeah, just to give context, you have 10-year-olds taking care of their 5-year-old siblings. Yeah, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that Faye opened the school, and they said, we can take children, and they showed up by the hundreds.
That's right.
And they could only accept a few. Boy, that's a hard choice to make.
I remember the first time we had like 400 show up. Yeah.
And how many could you take?
Only 30.
There it is.
Yeah.
So, and some of these kids don't even know their names. Some, they certainly don't know their birth dates. I mean, some of them are really tiny little people that have no parents, no family, no nothing. Live on the street. They are doing pretty doggone well. They're learning at a rate that's phenomenal, and they love to learn. These are enthusiastic learners because they know the price of not learning, because they see it on the other side of that fence. How are they doing in school, Alex?
So in our school district, we have 58 schools. Ours is first in academics.
I thought it was second. You've moved up one.
Actually, we are first, and we are second in sports.
Oh!
Yeah, but... and these are kids who have never been to school. They've been on the street all their lives. And we teach them biblical values, respect for authority, working hard. And the Lord is really blessing our work, and we're seeing it. Yeah, one of the kids we started with, he came to us in second grade. He used to walk like 2 hours one way. This time he's a pilot.
I've got a slide for him.
He worked so hard. He made it to the top in terms of grades, the whole country. Yeah, so he got a scholarship, and he was trained to be a pilot. Before I came, he got his license. Yes.
Okay, so I know, see? Return on investment, folks, that's what you have here. These kids don't have birthdays. We don't know what they are. So we have a birthday party once a year.
All right.
And so here, we've gotten a birthday cake. Actually, Faye ordered it, and it was a cake that was made at a local hotel. Beautiful, huge cake. Put it in the back of Alex's truck, drove it up there. and we lowered the tailgate, and all of a sudden we're surrounded by little ones. None of these are students at the school. But when you open the tailgate that has a cake behind it, you're going to attract these youngsters. And it broke my heart that we couldn't just help them too. But we went inside. Go ahead and push my button, if you will, please. There it is. There they are. I want you to see their faces. That's how many we have. How many is it now, Alex?
We have close to 400 from 5th grade to 12th grade. Wow. Yeah, that's how many kids we have now.
So yeah. this is the one campus that we had at the time. We got another one. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That is those faces right there. That's what you are bringing to life right there. Let me tell you a little bit about what's going on with there, what I'm telling them. I'm encouraging these youngsters. Why? They are going to be the next leaders of Zambia. Right there in that group, you see those faces, remember them. You will see some of those in government, in industry, in commerce, in business. Who knows what they're going to do for God, but they are going to raise the entire country up right there. Those are the ones.
That's our prayer.
That's the one right there. I'm not here standing up because I'm excited for it. I'm excited. And guess what? We fed them a meal. They don't get this kind of good food every day. We get the best food we can. We feed them the stuff that they're used to eating. But this was a feast. This was amazing food, and they got gorgeous, wonderful food. And they are so polite. Oh, my goodness, these lovely children. When you hand them their plate, or when you get ready to they do like this a little bit. It's everybody does. And I first objected. No, please, not just. And Alex says, forget it. They're gonna curtsy before you as a sign of honor. I said, right, okay. Right. Nothing I can do but feed them. So that's what we do. And so they had this wonderful time. I want to show you what's happening here in the last few years. This is what happened. This is in 2018. Do you see the crowd? We didn't have all the buildings built out. And so this was it. Everybody was shoved together. The desks were a mess. They all had good materials, but they just had no place to be. I want to show you now, 2022. See those beautiful desks? See all the room in that place? See all those materials? See all those smiling faces? That's because of your generosity. You guys have done that. And that's in a brand new classroom that probably didn't even have the windows in it for a week before we took that picture.
It was not even painted yet.
Yep. So. So, I mean, we don't mess around much. There is Faye, and the headmistress of the school. Is she still there?
She's still there.
Okay. And a blackboard. Yeah, yes. They still have blackboards in the world, and they are in
Well.
And they learn. These children are learning, you know, just like some of us did when we were back in the turn of the century. We need to expand the school grounds, guys. There was no room for grades 11 and 12. And so what happened while I was there, actually, this last time, we had an amazing donation from one of the congregations that supported Alex.
Right.
And it came in, and it gave us enough money, at least a good chunk of it, to buy another chunk of property.
Right.
Again, in the same slums, because, I mean, where you can't, if you move it into the nice places, they can't get the kids there because that's not where they live.
No.
So we had, but we got the property, and we started building, and Alex is going to give you more information on that. Let's go to Mumbwa, the place where the Lemba Jews are. You've heard of the Lemba, possibly. You've probably heard of many other of these Jewish tribes, but this is a tribe of Jewish people. When did their forefathers leave Israel?
Well, they say they left Israel during the time of Ezra.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's history.
They were kind of not all enthralled with what the ruling class in Israel was doing with God. And so they said, we're going to separate from you. So they did. And they just went all the way down through Africa. And now they are in southern chunks of Africa. Right. So we have been going to them. Let me talk to you about what's happened on that. There we go. To get to the Lemba, we start on these great roads. on the wrong side of the road, of course. And then grab the next one, if you will. There it is. And then we go to, well, is that a road? Yeah, kind of. Okay. And they're out in the bush. Grab the next one, if you will. Yeah, it's, and go ahead and click it one more time because it's going to play a video. And I'm going to show you, yeah, there it is. I'm going to show you sometimes what it takes to get to the limbo. There's a fork in the trail, and we took the right-hand side. That's the one less traveled, and that really kind of made all the difference at the time. And so that's what it looks like in the bush of Africa. And do we drive vehicles back in there? Yeah, we do. And there are delightful parking lots. Not any.
Yeah, so the Lemba, they're about 150,000, mostly in Zimbabwe, in Zambia, and Mozambique. That's how you find the Lemba Jews. Yeah.
They are very closed off. Go ahead and hit the next slide, if you will, for me. They're very closed off, and they really, by the way, there's some villages, okay? That's what it looks like when you get there. Grab the next one. And this is where it began in 2018. Alex and I sat down with these people, their leaders, because they didn't want us to have any encounters with their people until they took a look at us and passed us. And so there's Alex and I in the little conference room of the one of the villages with all their elders, and we are talking to them about who we are. Turns out that these are Jewish people who, first of all, believe in Yeshua.
Yes, they do.
I don't know where that came from, but I'm happy for it. But they have no concept of Torah or how to walk out a Torah life.
Yeah, another thing about the Lemba, they thought they were the only Jews in the world.
Oh.
Yes. So when they met Jay and they were asking me, is your friend Jewish? We sense like he's Jewish. And I was like, yeah, he's actually Jewish. And they were like, how come he's white? So this is how far removed these people are.
I was born that way. I couldn't help it.
This is how far removed these people are. But as Jay is saying, the Lord is gathering his people because that time is nearing. Yeah.
And so what have we done since 2000? They said, okay. And so we gave them Bibles in their own language. And we advanced the slide, please. There it is. And we met with them. They came from all sorts of villages around to us. And they met with us and let us speak with them and talk to them about more about God than they already knew, and then more. There is Alex and I. Where'd they get a couch? I don't know. But they had a couch, and they made us sit on it. But they had the tribal elders sitting in chairs and the other people sitting around on the ground, and we ministered to them and connected with them. And we even gave the youngsters shoes.
That's right.
Because they had no shoes. So we left there. They have Bibles, and the youngsters had shoes. And this is a special kind of shoe that allows you to change the, as they grow, the shoe can grow. Pretty cool stuff. Next one, please. More success in 2019. We met around under a tree. That's where a lot of Bible studies happen in Africa, is under a tree.
That's true.
And so we sat under a tree and then had a time with them. Grab the next one, please. There it is. There's those Bibles we gave them. They got them open. They're studying. And they are talking to us. They're challenging us on some of the things that we're teaching. And that's fine. I don't mind questions. Get the next one. And the beauty of it is that the ladies are there too. In this culture, the ladies are not put aside. They are honored. So they sit there just with, it's all the same. In some cultures, the ladies get put aside. Nah, not, we don't like that idea. And there they are. That's the group we were meeting with. Aren't they sweet? Next, please. We're moving slowly. I'm sorry. Forgive us. This is, I think, good stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to say that the Lord has actually planted a congregation among the Limba Jews. Yeah, this year.
Oh, yay! Yeah. I'm anxious to see that.
Yeah, he planted a congregation, so we are so excited about that.
This last time, this is where we met with them, in this building. There was a guy who's has some contacts with them. He came and met with Alex and I and says, "Oh, I can assemble them. I can make sure that they come to your meeting." And so Alex and I showed up, and there were hardly any. Well, it wasn't you and me. It was Mwitwa, wasn't it? And it turns out there were only like a couple of Lemba there, and then the whole rest were just people from the villages. We think we might have gotten pulled around the corner a little bit on that one. We think that he really did not want us to have much contact. So we're not going to let that happen again.
No.
Just in case you think things always go right, there's that. Yeah, grab the next one, please. Now, Nationwide Radio Program. Go ahead and pull up the next one. Faye has got a program that goes out to Zambia. It's on Zambia National Radio. And there it is in the studio called Shalom Zambia. Alex, tell them about how that's working.
Yeah, so Shalom Zambia goes to about 2 million people throughout Zambia. And we try to teach about the one true God, teach about Israel, Yeshua, and the need for people to just receive him as their personal savior. And we also try to counter some of the lies against Israel and the Jewish people. And the Lord has given us so much favor with this radio program.
Yeah, actually, there are secret Muslims listening. We heard about some of them because they got to be very, very careful because they can't let it out. But there are Muslims coming to faith through the radio and other things. Just phenomenal. It's because of you. Your contributions make stuff like this happen. I want to show you a joint service of three congregations, the Chinkuli, Chibola, and Chianda congregations. We had to drive out to meet them, and that's the road. Well, actually, that's the ditch. The ditch was smoother than the road. You can't really tell, but if you got on that road, you can't go very well. And when it rains, the ditch is full of water, so you're stuck. Wherever you are, be happy there. Let's see if I can. This should go ahead and play. This is us arriving at that joint worship service. There it is. I want you to see a little bit of their worship of God, okay? Alex, can you translate any of this? I can't.
Well, we speak over 73 different languages in Zambia. I can only speak five, so.
But I will assure you, they are praising our God. Now, what I wish was that they would have more enthusiasm.
I tell you, they're saying we are not going back. We are following the Lord all the way through. That's what they're saying. Yeah, this is a very hostile place where these congregations are.
Yeah, they face a lot of persecution. Isn't that wonderful? I love that stuff. Okay, grab the next line. Come on. You can tell about all the chairs they have, right? See, it's not about comfort to them. It's not about convenience. It's about God.
Yeah, and just on the same, we have people walk anywhere from 4 to 6 hours just to come for service at some of these congregations. Yeah, and they sit on the floor.
And you know, have you heard somebody say, well, you know, driving across Denver is just so hard to do. Okay. Say, I show you hard to do. All right. Grab the next one, if you will, please. Okay. Now here, you know, have you ever understood that God does things every now and then? I think Betty calls them holy kisses. One of those things that just kind of pops up in your life and you go, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, Alex and I had gone to the mall. I was at the coffee shop. He wanted to go get a haircut because, well, you can see how shaggy he is.
Yeah, always shaggy.
Yeah, he's very shaggy. And so he wanted to go get a haircut, and I sat there with my cup of coffee, and it took him forever. I thought, the man's got no hair. Why is he taking so long to come back? Well, when he came back, he told me this story.
Yeah, so there's this guy that I met. Actually, I met him almost 27 years ago when I was seeking the Lord. Some of you know my story. I had to go check out the internet. So he's the one who helped me find the Messianic movement by giving me a computer. So I met him.
Allowing him to use a computer.
Right. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, allowing me to use a computer, and that's how I found the Messianic Jewish movement. So I met him, and I had
this
to bring him to Jay.
This guy was a librarian in the university library, yes, and yes, allowed Alex to come in and read a Bible when nobody should allow him to do that. But this man was led of God to let Alex read the Bible in that place. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, the rest is history.
Oh, and come on. You were walking down the hallway, and what happened?
Yeah, so I bumped into him. I was like, I think I know you. And he was like, are you Alex Yalenga? I said, yeah, are you the guy who walked 30 miles to come and read the Bible? I was like, yeah, that's me. At least I drive this time. But anyway, it was humbling to see how your pen can actually encourage others. Because when I was seeking the Lord, I thought, wow, this is hard. But when I found him, I see that others actually get strengthened and have faith that the Lord is not actually far away. When you seek him with all your heart, you find him. He's only a prayer away. So just talking to this guy made me just realize how faithful our God is. You know, when you reach out to him, he reaches out to you as well. Yeah, so for me, it was like the Lord just came and just hugged me and reminded me that, you know, he's the one who orders our steps if we so allow him. And it was not that I had supernatural encounters and stuff like that. It was just reading the Bible, just trusting each and every word in the Bible. And that word led me to you guys. That word led me to Israel. That word led me to Jerusalem. And it's all there. He's a real God.
Yeah. And here's one of the cool things. This librarian now works elsewhere. But this librarian told Alex, I listen to you every weekend, and you have strengthened my faith. See how that is? And there he is with his family.
That's right.
I took this picture. I said, I got to show this to the people back home, because that's how God does. He circles people back into your life to show you every now and then, yeah, it's worth the trip. It really is worth it. Let's talk about some praise reports. We're going to talk about a praise report any second now. Somebody help me with the button, will you? Thank you. The new school property. Wow. Press that next one. I want to show you what it was. That's what it was. Okay. Hit the next one. Yep. Next one. Thank you. This is a mess. When Alex saw it for the first time, he goes, oh, this will not do. We can't, these should be condemned. So they tore it down. and started building. And right now, how far are the building gone?
Yeah, so we've built two new classrooms, and we now have fifth grade all the way to 12th grade. Yeah, so we're just excited, and we thank the Lord. Again, thank you for your support. Thank you. We used to only have up to the seventh grade. We'll let the kids go back or maybe go to other schools. And they didn't have proper oversight. So most of them went back to doing bad stuff. So we thought we should keep them longer, teach them more about the Lord. And the Lord has honored our prayer. And so we can keep them all the way to 12th grade, teach them academics, and at the same time teach them about the one who loved them and died for them. So,
So let's get the next one very quick. Next slide. There they are. They're the kids that, because of donations from America, these now have a classroom to go to. That's the ones. Look at their faces. These are the leaders of Zambia right here. I want to talk a little bit about a special need that I don't have in the slides. The building has been done, but there was a financial shortfall of about $6,000. A congregation in this country, not here, but in another city, said we can't have that, and they stepped up, and they actually took some of their congregational funds and loaned it to our ministry to build that stuff. And so it's built. But the truth is, this congregation sacrificially gave us something to use. And we owe it back to them, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. So please, if you're able and you're willing and the Spirit leads you, help us repay them above and beyond what you might otherwise do. Again, your first responsibility is to your family.
Amen.
Your second responsibility is to this congregation.
That's right.
But if the Lord leads you elsewise to help out, we really, really would like to get that resolved this year. Go to the next one. There it is. There's the boy, Musanda. He is the guy that Alex was talking about. Came in second grade as an orphan.
Right.
Off the streets. Did extremely well in school. And you see him standing beside in the hangar with an airplane? He has now gotten his private ticket. Yay! He's on his way to the next level. There are several levels after this.
Right.
And he will get there. This is the success. I think we have one that's going to medical school, don't we? Or in college?
Yeah, we have several who are in college. Others are doing electrical, others plumbing, and another one is doing nursing.
Nursing.
Right, so we have the kids all over the place.
See, and this is what you have done. Yeah. You have done this. By the way, 90% passed grade. Last time I checked, is it higher than that?
It's still the same.
Still the same.
That's right.
Not bad. That's way above the schools. It's way above the schools. Please pray for Zambia. There's flooding still. When you don't have roads, it's not good. Is this number changed now? We had 120 out of 218 children had sponsors in the orphans. Is that where we are still? We got better numbers?
The numbers have dropped a little more.
Okay, what's the real numbers now?
Yeah, so we have close to 400 kids, and about 180 have got sponsors.
Okay.
And the rest don't.
Okay.
Yeah, so sponsorship helps them to go to school, to have a meal.
It's not expensive.
School supplies. And if they're sick, they can go see a doctor. And we also help them with clothing and shoes as well. So,
they have an opportunity. But if you can help us, that would be great. And talk to Alex. He has all the materials for sponsorship. Not a problem. The Malawi congregation could use a couple of $100 to print liturgy for their services. Well, they don't have a PowerPoint now, do they? Chinkuli congregation could use about $300 to repair a water well. Water's kind of important. If you don't have it, it's really important. I don't know if that's going to play. See if that video is going to play right there. Nope, it won't. Yes, it will. This is how we're going to close. This is the Zambezi River. And if you look way over there, you see, hey, elephants. Who could have thought in Africa on the Zambezi there would be elephants? Well, what I want you to see is elephants aren't that much different than, these are bull elephants, by the way, aren't that much different than teenage boys. You'll see what I mean in a minute. The one that's closest to you is going to try and get out of the water, and he sort of nudges the bigger one behind him. He's going to kind of give him a push right there. Okay, game on. Yeah, these are big animals. Very big animals. And the big one's going, you think I'm getting out of the water, don't you? You're wrong. Game on. So I'm in a boat in the Zambezi filming this. And the big one's pushing the smaller one, both of which are very large. And if you think, wow, that's pretty close to the boat. You know why? It was pretty close to the boat. That's why. The big one pushes the little one. He establishes the dominance. And you can see how close they were to the boat. Guys, that's our presentation. Alex has got a little bit of a word for you on top of that. I'm sorry it's taking so long to do this, but I really want you to understand return on investment. That is what your funds that you give do right there. That's it. Thank you much. Alex, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much. How much time do I have? Yeah. Huh? I'll try to go through this real quick, but I'd just like to say thank you once again to the leadership. Thank you to most of you who've been praying for us. And those who've managed to come to Zambia, I want to say thank you once again. You guys have been the hands of the Lord. You've been the feet of the Lord. And you've been true to the calling to be a light to the rest of the world. I want to encourage you to stand strong in the Lord your God, because he is the living God. My message was about waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. And you must understand that waiting is part of our call as we walk with the Lord. Waiting is part of our faith in the living God. Abraham, our father, had to wait 25 years for him to receive the promise of a son. The same with Isaac. He waited for 20 years for him to have Jacob and Esau. And sometimes we may get discouraged as we wait, but I want to encourage you that when the Lord gives a promise, he keeps his word. He keeps his word. As we are waiting for the Lord, what we do as we wait will determine the answer or the outcome to what we're waiting for. Sometimes we get discouraged. We pray for peace. We pray for many things. Of course, we pray for things that are beyond us. I always believe that what is within our grasp, what is within our control, that we don't depend on the Lord. He's given us control to do that. But what is beyond our resources, our control, our abilities, that is in the hands of the Most High God. And most of the times, that's what we ask for. We ask for him to come and help us, to come and maybe intervene in our situations. And it is the waiting that may sometimes destroy our faith. I want to encourage you that as you wait, the Lord is building something. It's all about faith. We may be tired of conflict, tired of rejection, tired of not seeing fruit on the tree. And we may even feel disillusioned. and begin to question our faith. Is the Lord really answering? The truth of the matter is that before we even say a word, the Holy One of Israel knows. He's a God who created ears. He's a God who not only hears, but answers prayer. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Adonai is the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary, and to the one without vigor, he adds might. Even youths can grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The Lord's promises are true and written in stone, and there's power in just waiting for him to act. To wait on the Lord does not mean to pause or to do nothing. Neither does it mean taking matters in our own hands. There are things we are told we can do, and there are things that are only in the hands of the Lord. However, as we wait, we must wait with expectancy and assurance, because our God is real. Our God is a God of action. To wait on the Lord is to eagerly look forward to what he has promised. To wait for the Lord is to be ready for what he's about to do. We sometimes preach increase, and yet we are not ready for the increase. We sometimes preach for certain things, and yet we are not ready for them. But as we wait for the Lord, we must prepare, because he's a God who answers prayer. His past performance speaks clearly. I like what Psalms 130 verse 5 has to say. I wait for Adonai, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for my God more than watchmen for the morning. Watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for Adonai, for with Adonai there is loving kindness, and with him is full redemption. But what is it that we should be looking for as we wait upon our God? I believe it is his power, his ability to deliver. There is none like the God of Israel. I always say this: when you come from a place where there are several hundred gods, you don't hear anyone like the God of Israel, the God who claims ownership over all the universe, the God who can declare the end from the beginning, a God who is so faithful to the minute detail. This is a God who has given you promises. This is a God you've been waiting upon. This is a God who come and act. Waiting on our God means having confidence in who the great God of Israel is. It is having confidence in the person of our God. There is none like him. Nothing happens without him. Nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing is beyond his reach. I believe waiting on the Lord is knowing and believing that what he is doing, he is on time. In other words, waiting upon the Lord is knowing that he has all the answers and nothing stands in his way. No one can stop him. No one can slow him down. And no one can even pause his will for you and me and for Israel, his people. As we wait, what will keep us from despair, I believe, is having a firm confidence. I believe it's looking at what he has done, what he's doing around the world. To this very day, Yeshua is still appearing to people, like in the Muslim world. He's appearing to them. He is alive. Having confidence, we can touch him through the eyes and ears of our faith and hands of our faith, having confidence that he will bring whatever he has said to pass. I believe waiting upon the Lord is having a firm confidence
in his eternal wisdom. The Lord knows everything. He sees the bigger picture. We can only see a little bit of what is going on. Waiting upon the Lord is having confidence in his timing. His timing is always the best. I'll talk a little bit about that. I believe it's also having confidence in his understanding. The Lord understands everything. It's having confidence in his power. There is none like the God of Israel. It's having confidence in his written word. The word that we have is spirit. The word lives. The word will grow us. The word will bring us close to him. Waiting upon the Lord is having confidence in his promises and in his guidance. When the Lord leads, it doesn't make sense. Look at our people. When he delivered our people out of Egypt, he took us to the desert. There was a shortcut to the promised land. When the Lord is leading, it may not make sense. But because he's wise, he knows what he's doing. We must understand that our God thinks things through. Before he does something, it's already a done deal with him. Waiting upon the Lord involves seeking the Lord. So it does not mean we need to hibernate or just go in a hole and just wait. No, we need to continue living life as life should be lived. And one of the things we should be doing is seeking the Lord. Our father Jacob showed us the way. You know, he held on to the Lord and he said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. So even as we wait, we may not have all the answers. We can still wrestle with him. We can still hold on to him because the Lord will not turn away anyone who seeks him. Never give up when it comes to prayer. Never be discouraged when it comes to knocking on the doors of heaven. The man, the God who is behind those doors, hears each and every knock. And in his time, he's going to answer that. Waiting on the Lord, I believe, involves just reaching out to him and praising him and knowing that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. For God himself has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So whenever we feel that the Lord is far, guess who has moved? It's us. When we enter the Lord's waiting room, we are not to just sit as one might do in the doctor's waiting room. We need to spend time doing a number of things. And one of them is living life as it should be lived. The Lord wants us to go out and be the light that he wants us to be, to shine that light so that others can see the good works in us. The best sermon we can give to the world is how we live our lives. And when we allow him to have control in our hearts, he does a good job. Others begin to see him. Others begin to be drawn to him. Waiting on the Lord means we go out, we go to school, we go for work, we plant, we harvest, we have fellowship with others. Waiting should never disrupt our lives. Waiting on the Lord, I'll close with this one, means resting in God's timing. Galatians 6 verse 9, so let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good toward all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. Waiting means resting in God's time and activity while taking care of our responsibilities. When it comes to the Lord's timing, this is one place where most of us struggle. Waiting, as we all know, may be hard sometimes. It's like the Lord is late, way too late sometimes, in responding to our earnest and urgent request. We can be in such a hurry and get frustrated if things don't happen the way we want. But I want to encourage you that the Lord's timing is always right. He works according to his eternal schedule and not according to our schedules. He will not show up early. He will not show up late. He's always on time. He is in complete control of our lives and of the entire universe. You can be confident that the Lord knows what he's doing in your life. I want you to just continue praising the Lord. Don't look at what is going on around you. Look at him. When you look at your ability, you look at yourself, you look at our numbers, we'll get discouraged. But when we look at our God, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. With him, we are in the majority. The Lord knows you. The Lord loves you. The Lord has invested his entire life for you. As a matter of fact, his blood on the cross for you. He wants you. When he looks at the world, it's like you're the only person living in this world. That's how intimate our God gets with you and me. But he wants us to trust in him. He wants us to know that he's in firm control of whatever is going on. The economy, the politics, whatever is out there, our God is in control. And things will ultimately work out according to his will. I pray that you continue standing strong and tall for your God. This congregation is a great congregation. This congregation has been a blessing, not only to us in Zambia, but throughout the world. Your rabbi is a wonderful man. You have great elders in this congregation. And the enemy knows that. He may want to come after them, but the Lord has made a promise. He will always protect his own. He's the one who planted this congregation. He will take care of this congregation. And the rest of Israel will join this congregation and other congregations in welcoming Messiah Yeshua. So may the Lord continue to bless you. And again, thank you so much from Zambia. 23 years ago, I walked through those doors after searching for more than 7 years for Jew and Gentile who believed in Messiah Yeshua. You are a prophetic people. You belong to the Lord. And the enemy is scared of you. But remember, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Shabbat shalom. Thank you very much.